The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Morning, everyone. You know, I've always thought this is one of the best weekends of the year, Thanksgiving weekend. It's the weekend of, feasting, family, friends, weekend of Thanksgiving, and it's a weekend of prayer. It's a weekend where we can gather together here as a body of believers and together say thank you to God. You know, the Bible says we ought always to enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. We've been traveling through a little book called 1 John, and I want to put that on hold and come back to that next week because I think it's really important to talk about gratitude. It's important to talk about giving thanks, and it's important to do it. And you know, God's people need to be taught to give thanks, and I include myself in that. We need to be taught to give thanks. You take a child and you give them something and you say thank you. We teach children to say thank you. And our Father in heaven is no different. He has to teach us to say thank you. And I don't think there's any more relevant time to stop and learn again what it means to say thank you than right now. Because when I look back over the last 2 or 3 years, giving thanks was kind of really low on our scale. And we were more about grumbling and complaining than we ever were about giving thanks. So it's good to come back and say, you know, we need to learn again what it means to say thank you for all that we have. We live in a land of abundance. Did you know that? We live in a land of abundance. We have so much. And when I listen to people that complain about what we haven't got or what we're losing, I think to myself, I wonder if they've traveled anywhere. I wonder, outside of the top deck on a cruise ship or a resort somewhere in a hot place, have they really traveled? Do they understand what's going on in the world, and do they understand what we really have? I can't claim to be a world traveler, but I can tell you, I've been to some places that make me very grateful for what we have here. I've been in Haiti on more than one occasion, where there's 60, 70, some places 80% unemployment. I've been on the top of a mountain there in a little mountain village where these people probably never get off the mountain, maybe in their whole life, apart from coming down to the town below to get some stuff. And yet they're full of joy. They're full of joy. It's amazing. I've been in Rwanda out in the middle of nowhere sitting with a little group of people, mostly ladies, a savings group, and they're just putting whatever money they have together so that somebody can buy a sewing machine and start a business. Or somebody else can buy a banana tree or plant or whatever it is and maybe make a bit of money. It's incredible. I wish you could have come with me to Northern Sudan, where you put together a lot of money here over a few Christmases, and we're able to go into 2 displaced people's groups and build a water tower because they didn't have fresh water, and kids were dying from waterborne diseases, and there's 2 distribution points, and we went to dedicate that and open it up. And these 2 displaced people's camps, they just live in huts, 40,000 of them in the desert. In the desert, there's just garbage bags blowing everywhere and goats and these people. I remember walking through the dusty streets of this little village and hearing the inner voice say, "Dan, I know every child in every hut here that's sick and dying of waterborne diseases, and I know them by name, and they matter to me." You know, when you come home from stuff like that and you drive up the QE2, guaranteed, you're just grateful. You just say thank you. Father, we have clean air. We have water that we drink. We have food. We live in a land of abundance, and Father, I just, help me always be grateful. So I want to help you be grateful for all that we've been given. I want to just show you what I found in the Bible this week about giving thanks. That's all. And you'll be able to add to this. You'll do a much better job than I will. But I just want to get your thoughts going. And I want you to get going down this track of gratitude and giving thanks. And I thought maybe a good place to start, and I'm going to take you to a lot of scriptures, and you won't remember them all, but maybe 1 or 2 will land. I want to start with Psalm 116 and verse 12. It says, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I'll fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious, or carefully watched over in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I'll fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people in the courts of the house of the Lord. In your midst, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. The immediate context, we don't need to worry about too much. It's a man that found himself in a lot of trouble, overwhelmed by the troubles of life, and he called out to God for mercy, and he's not able to get over the fact that when he called to God for mercy, God bent down and listened to his cry and delivered him. He can't get over that. And so his question in verse 12 is, how could I ever repay the Lord for all he's done for me? You ever ask that question? How could I ever repay the Lord for everything he's done for me? He has a few ideas. He says, I'll lift up the cup of salvation. Maybe that's sharing Christ in our context. I don't know. He says, I'll keep the promises I made to the Lord. But the one I like is, I'm going to sacrifice a thank offering to you for all that you've done for me. A thank offering was, well, you'd have to go back to where, if you have a real Bible, the pages of your Bible still stick together, the book of Leviticus. And in chapter 7 there, you read about a thank offering. And a thank offering, well, it was voluntary. And it was when people were coming together to worship like this, they thought about the goodness of God, they would bring an offering called a thank offering and they'd leave it there. And it would be their visible sign of gratitude to God for all he did for them. Thank offering. I want to think with you today about how we give thanks. And I've just put together in my own mind four questions. And they're these: why? Why give thanks? What are we to give God thanks for? When are we to give thanks? And where are we to give thanks? Now, this is Thanksgiving 101. You'll be able to do much better. But I wanted to put it out there and then have us respond at the end in a way that honors God. So let's start with why give thanks. I found seven great reasons in the Bible to give thanks. Now, I tapped it at seven because that seems like a godly number, but there's a lot more. Here's the first one. We should give thanks because we're told to give thanks. We're told to give thanks. Like you tell a kid, give thanks. God tells us, give thanks. I thought of a number of places. Let me read a few verses to you. Philippians 4:6, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. When you bring a request to God, it should be with thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, that you're willing to listen. Thank you that you're good and that your love endures forever. And by the way, I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent this month. That's a good way to do it. Colossians 2:6-7 says we should be overflowing with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, I get a lot of people saying to me, how do I know God's will for my life? Should I go here? Should I go there? Should I marry this person? And in my mind, I'm saying, I wouldn't, but knock yourself out. What is God's will? I don't know, but what I do know is when I give thanks, I'm doing God's will. That's what I know. When I give thanks, I'm doing God's will. This is God's will for you to give thanks. One of the best ways to know you're in God's will is to give thanks. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. We should be continually offering God a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll come back to that one. But all I want to point, I'm just trying to make, is we're told by God to give thanks. It's not a suggestion. It's actually in the realm of a command, give thanks. Well, I don't always feel like giving thanks. Well, give thanks anyways. Let your feelings catch up with your faith. If you work out, and clearly I need to, you probably get up in the morning and do it whether you feel like it or not, because it's the right thing to do. You give thanks because it's the right thing to do, because God has asked us to do it. Now, you could take out all the rest and that would be reason enough to give thanks, wouldn't it? But there's more. I found another one. Number two is it honors God. It honors God when you give thanks. It is actually part of the answer to your prayer when you get up every morning and you say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name," or "honored be your name." When you give thanks, you are honoring his name and you become part of the answer to your prayer. It honors God. I found that in Psalm 50. I think it's about verse 23. It says, "Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me, and to the blameless I'll show my salvation." What that's really saying is when you offer thanks to God, you honor him. The second part of that verse is a little convoluted in this translation. What it really means is if you sacrifice thank offerings, you honor me and you prepare the way so I can show you my salvation. People who give thanks get to know more about God than people who don't. It's Ephesians chapter 1 where Paul prays that God would give you and me the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him better. And then he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened to know the hope to which he's called you." When you give thanks, he enlightens your heart. When you give thanks, he shows you more of himself. And that's a wonderful thing. So it's something we're to do because we're told to do it. It honors God. The third reason, a really good reason, great reason to give thanks, is it gets God's full attention. You want to get God's full attention? Start giving thanks. Do you remember the parable in Luke of 10 lepers and they met Jesus and he healed the whole lot of them. And they go on their way and they're super pumped. They're healed. When you were a leper, you had to stay outside the community. You think we were locked down, nothing compared to a leper in those days. And they go on their way, but one of them stops, turns around and says, "Hey, I got to give thanks to Jesus." And he throws himself at Jesus' feet and he says, "Thank you." And he gets Jesus' full attention. Jesus is hurt because there were nine that didn't come back, but one did. And he got a blessing the others didn't. Jesus said, "You know, your faith has made you well. Go on your way." It gets God's full attention. He loves it when you stop and give thanks. Number four reason we ought to give thanks. It reminds us that we're not self-made people. And I need to be reminded of that. I'm sure you don't, but I do. I need to be reminded that everything I have and all that has happened in my life got nothing to do with Dan Cochran. It's got everything to do with Jesus Christ. I like Isaiah 26 in this regard. It says, "Lord, you established peace for us. All that we've accomplished, you've done for us. All that we've accomplished, you've done it." That comes from a heart that's grateful. It says, "Lord, look at all that I have and look at all that I become. And Lord, it's not me, it's you. It's you." Or maybe you're not in that place and you say, "I have very little," but you need to file this one away because one day you'll need to be able to come back to God on your knees again and say, "Thank you. All that we've accomplished, it's from you." Giving thanks reminds you of that. Another reason that's really good, and I think this is one that you may not have picked up. Gratitude will guard your soul against the enemy. Gratitude guards your soul. Did you know that? Romans chapter 1, you wouldn't have thought it was there, but it's in Romans chapter 1. I'll read it to you, just part of it. It says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." A wicked person actually suppresses the truth, keeps it down, keeps it from being known. It's a terrible thing. "Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For though they knew God," listen to this, "although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's a devastating exegesis of our culture. People suppress the truth, even though like God's invisible qualities are clearly seen. They suppress that truth, and they refuse to glorify him and give thanks to him for anything. And as a result, they became vulnerable to the enemy. And what happened? Their thinking became futile, and they were incapable of seeing anything to give God thanks for. God has appointed gratitude as a guardian for your soul from all kinds of evil, and it keeps your thinking from becoming futile and your heart becoming foolish and darkened so that you can't even think of anything to give God thanks for. And I saw it, heard it this week. I was driving down the highway. I had a local radio station on, not Shine. And I listened to the announcer say it's Thanksgiving weekend. And yeah, I don't know what to give God, I don't know what to give thanks for, he said. I mean, seriously. You live in Red Deer. You get the beauty of the creation. You get the mountains, you get everything. And you can't think of anything to give God thanks, or he didn't even say God. You can't think of anything to say thank you for. So he said, well, I guess I'll say thank you for this next song. That's futility. That's a foolish heart that got darkened. That's somebody that refused to glorify God and give thanks to him, so became vulnerable to the enemy. When you give thanks, your soul's guarded from futility and stupid thinking, and you're still able to see and give thanks to God. A couple more I think I had. Number 6, gratitude destroys the poison of fault-finding and grumbling. I like that one because, you know what I found? That people that grumble and complain all the time, they usually aren't people that are known for giving thanks. And the reverse is true. People that give thanks usually aren't people that fault-find and grumble. And so, it destroys the poison of fault-finding and grumbling. And I'll give you one more, and you add to it, add to the list, but because it's what we do in heaven forever. If you read Revelation 4 and 5, like it says, there's like millions, no, that's crazy, hundreds of millions of people and angels worshiping God. 10,000 times 10,000, isn't that 100 million or something like that? I was never good at math, but it's close to that. Everybody's there and they're praising God and giving thanks to him forever and ever and ever. Like, wouldn't it be wise if you knew that you were going to engage in something forever to begin practicing now? Just seems to make sense. That if I'm going to be doing this forever, I should probably get started now. So when I get there, I'm at least partway down the road. If I learn some of the songs now, I'll be ready to sing them there. So that's some of them, like I'll Fly Away, aren't going to be there, so you don't need to learn that one, but there's a few that I think will make the cut, so just so you know. Okay. I'm a little low on emails during the week, so I thought I'd throw that out there. Okay, what are we to give God thanks for? What are we to give God thanks for? Everything? How about for God? Let's start there, for God. When you read through the Psalms, and Dave read Psalm 107, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good and his love endures forever. When you start to think about the character of God, there'll be an endless number of things that you can praise him for, thank him for. He's good. His love endures forever. He has unlimited patience towards you and towards me. Unlimited. I come and think I've worn him out with my confessions and my failures, and it's like, No, unlimited patience. And he doesn't even keep a record of sin. Another thing I found out about him, he loves to give. For God so loved the world that he gave. Romans chapter 8, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Every good and perfect gift is from above. He loves to give, and he gives generously, and he gives costly gifts. And when you're dealing with a God that loves to give, his people should love to give thanks. So we give God thanks for God, for who he is. One of the most radical things you can ever read in the Bible is this. This is radical. Never will I ever leave you, never will I ever forsake you. In a broken, fallen world, that's radical stuff. Because in this world, we are always saying goodbye. Always saying goodbye. There's always, often in the week, a casket or an urn. Always people saying goodbye. You know it. I know it. It's going to happen if it hasn't to you. And then you have somebody come along and say, no, I'm not like that. Never, ever will you have to say goodbye to me. I'll never leave you. That's unheard of in a fallen, broken world. It was on the news, and I heard it this week, but it was from a bit before, a young girl named Bailey Sellers. Bailey was from Knoxville, Tennessee, and she just turned 21. Her father had died when she was 16, but he had made arrangements that on every birthday until she was 21 to have a bouquet of flowers delivered. He'd prepaid that, and he had notes that were written that were to be delivered every year on her birthday until she was 21, though he had died when she was 16. Now it was her 21st birthday and her final bouquet and note. Every year, she received that bouquet and note. This was the final year. This year, the note read, I'll still be with you, Bailey. With every milestone, just look around and I'll be there. That's a beautiful sentiment, but not true. Doesn't matter how hard she looks around, she won't find his presence. But you have a father if you know Jesus, and he's the only one who can send you a bouquet every year at your birthday and tell you, I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. Just seek me, look for me, and you'll find me. And he delivers on that promise all the time. These are great things to give God thanks for. And then you can thank him for his creation. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Genesis 1 says he made it. And at the end of the Bible in Revelation 4, it says in heaven they worship God because he created all things, and because of his pleasure, they exist. You're here today because he wants you here. That's it. And we praise him. It's not hard to praise him for his creation right now. It's beautiful out, isn't it? Came here this morning and the sun comes up and it's spectacular. And I mean, I guess the goal will be to do it when it's 40 below and blizzarding. But today, I'm grateful for his creation. And, you know, I'm no scientist, and I prove that week after week up here. Not that smart. But when I see complexity, order, design, beauty, it's got to point to someone. Like one planet, the middle of billions. And we're here, finely tuned for life. Spectacular. One scientist said, beauty slips through our scientific net. Beauty slips through our scientific net. We have no explanation for it, but we do. There's a God that loves beauty. So we praise him for his creation. We praise him for salvation. Where would we be today without Jesus Christ? You know where we'd be? If we were still walking around on this planet, and a lot of us would have blown our lives apart, we would be without God and without hope. Imagine that, without God and without hope. As you near the end of life, or as you get a bad diagnosis, or when you lose a loved one, and you have no God and no hope, what do you do? I don't know. But I know that's where I would be without Jesus Christ, because he rescued me. He brought me out of a dark pit. Psalm 40 says he put our feet on a rock and a new song in our mouth. And now we're called children of God. 1 John, and we might get there in our study this fall, I'm not sure, but in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, how great is the love of the Father. He's lavished on us his love and called us children of God, and that's what we are. Imagine that. He calls you, if you trust his son Jesus, his child, his dear child. It's amazing stuff. Can we ever stop giving thanks? We thank him for our provision, our daily bread. We thank him for that. I mean, sometimes we worry about it. And I go by the gas station at Scotty's by my house. And it's like, oh, it's $1.61 today. And, you know, where's it going to go next week? And I don't know about bread. And Ginny said turkey's expensive. And I don't know all this stuff. And what I do know I don't know how I'm going to pay for it all, but what I do know is that Jesus said, don't worry about it. He said, if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he'll take care of that stuff. How cool is that? Now, I'm a simple guy, and so I heard a children's little ditty this week, and I quickly wrote it down because I liked it. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe I'm the last one on the planet to know it, but I liked it. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, it must be they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. Isn't that good stuff? That I don't think it's in the Bible, but it could be, well, written in the back of your Bible by you, but that's good stuff. Thank him for your provision. I'll give you one more thing to thank him for, and you can add to the list. For the people sitting around you, the people of God. I don't know if you noticed, but if you're a careful reader of the Bible, every letter pretty much that Paul writes, he starts by thanking God for the people. Thanking God. And they weren't all good. Some of them were downright crazy. And he thanks God for them. Some of them he's going to give a left hook to in a minute, but he thanks God for them. And I wondered about that. I thought, you know what? What if we began to thank God for each other, even the people we don't like in the community of faith, can't get along with? You know, everybody has something in them that you could thank God for. If you don't believe me, check out 1 Corinthians 4. I think it's verse 5. It talks about the last day when we stand before God, and it says each person will receive their praise from God. Everyone will receive some praise from God. I know a lot of Christians that, seriously, Lord, you're going to praise? Yep, each person. Now, there might not be much. To some, you might say, you know what? You believed in my son, and that's praiseworthy. Others, it'll be probably a lot more. But I wondered if we looked through the lens of gratitude and said, thank you, Father, for this person and found something, maybe it would help us to love deeply from the heart. Just maybe. So those are some things that you can give God thanks for. And you can do better than me with your list. But when should we give thanks? Always. Always. Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just circle the word always. Not hard to do it when we're feeling good. We got the promotion. We got the job. We got the spouse. We got a bonus. It's just a great day and we have a day off and we're enjoying the weather. Oilers lost again. It's not, you know, we can give thanks easily sometimes. But always means when the wheels fall off, give thanks. That's what it means, when the wheels fall off. When it doesn't go well, when there's lots of month at the end of the money, when you've just been dumped, always give thanks, always. We've been mentored well in that. If you're a Bible reader, you'll have read about Daniel. A lot of people didn't like him. And so the king passed this edict that if you were caught worshiping or praying to any god except the king's God, you're going to the lions. Daniel knew he couldn't stop worshiping God. He knew he was within hours of being torn apart by lions. And he went home and he got down on his knees, threw open the windows and gave thanks to God like he always did, it says. Gave thanks to God. About to be destroyed by lions. Got to give thanks to God first. When the lions are about to rip you apart, give thanks. And what about Jonah? He gets so much bad press. It's a whale of a tale. You should read it. Sorry. Slipped out in the first service, got out again. But, you know, he gets a lot of bad press. I'm not sure I'd be any different in his sandals. Not sure. Now, you get swallowed by this thing, this great fish. He's going out of the bottom of the Mediterranean. What would you be praying? Lord, make this thing barf me out on a beach. I don't know. You know what he's doing? Read it in Jonah chapter 2. offering thanks to God. Seriously. When the bottom falls out of your life and you're trapped, you have no way out, like Jonah, give thanks. Always give thanks to God. Why? Because if you're his child, he's got you and he's got it. I don't understand it. I don't get it, but he's got it. And he's told me that there isn't anything I'll go through that he won't work together for good if I love him. He's told me that in the end, I'll see his face. He's told me that in the end, it'll all have been worth it. So I can give thanks. Sometimes it's hard, but you get it out because he's asked us to give thanks in every circumstance, even when the wheels fall off. That's when we give thanks. Now, where do we give thanks? This is the last point. I'll try and be quick. Where do we give thanks? I'll give you three things to think about. Number one, in your conversations. I found that in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, but among you, God's people, there mustn't be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. That's out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Isn't that cool? I've been guilty, maybe you have, of foolish talk. I'm sure obscenity. I'm sure coarse joking. I've been guilty of that kind of stuff. How do I get rid of it? By filling my mouth with thanksgiving. That's how you get rid of it. Get rid of it by filling your mouth with thanksgiving. What you say at the beginning of a conversation will often set the tone as to where the conversation will go. If you start with frivolity and foolishness, don't expect it to get real godly. If you start with coarse joking, expect it to get worse. If you start by saying, man, isn't God good? I'm so grateful for, it's pretty hard for the other people to take the conversation down. So I think the first place you start is in your conversation. You say, Lord, I want to be natural, but can you help me even in my conversations with people to be grateful? So because I don't want to get into the stuff that Jesus cleaned us up from. So help fill my mouth with thanksgiving. Second place is you give thanks in your home. I hope that around your dinner tables, you give thanks. It's a great practice. Just before breakfast, stop and give thanks. Before lunch, before supper. If you have children, teach your children to do that. They'll learn by watching. It's a practice. Make it real. Mean it. You can say the same words all the time as long as you mean them. Ginny and I were with two friends, and we were in a hotel somewhere overnight, and we all four of us got up and we went for breakfast the next morning and in the restaurant in the hotel, and we gave thanks for our food. And like an arrow, a guy shot out of his seat over there and came over here and said, you guys just gave thanks for your food. It's like, well, yeah. He said, I'm just like a dog, he said. This is like, I'm a dog. He said, I just jumped into my food and never thought of giving thanks to anybody. He went back to his table. I hoped he gave thanks at noon. Give thanks. I might have told you this before, but it bears repeating. My dad, he died in 2012 with dementia. He's a godly man, and he died up in Killam, Alberta, because my sister and her husband, they farm up there, and there was a home there that he was in. And, you know, as he got the later stages of the disease, he just got quieter and quieter, as some people do. And he just wouldn't engage, wouldn't talk. He'd look at you, wouldn't talk. When he looked at us, I don't know if he knew who we were. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So one day, Ginny and I are up there, and Randy, my brother-in-law, says, why don't you bring him home for dinner? So we got him from the home. We brought him to Marilyn Randy's house, and the dinner was out on the table, and Randy said to my dad, he called my dad Bob, that was his name, Bob, why don't you give thanks for the food? My dad had talked for a while. He looked up, he looked around, he bowed his head, and he said, our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ and for your gracious provision. We thank you for this in Jesus' name, amen. I heard that prayer for 60 years. Heard the prayer for 60 years. You know, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. you practice this stuff, when your mind goes, you'll still be blessing God. When you get old, like me, you don't turn out different than you were when you were young, except on the outside. It's just the fruit of what you become. I hope when you lose your mind, it's not anything you'll be embarrassed for, your people will be embarrassed for when stuff comes out. I know another man in this church who was leader in this church, and his dad died just over 80 with the same disease. But you know what? Though he didn't talk and couldn't say much, if you said to him, sing a hymn, he would sing a beautiful hymn because for years it had been put down in his DNA. Practice giving thanks in the home. When you get up in the morning, first thing you ought to say is, thank you, Lord Jesus, for a new day. There's a whole lot of people who aren't going to see the light of this day. You've given me a new day, and I just want to say thank you. Great way to start the day. When your feet get pulled up into your bed at night, what about thank you, Father, for your faithfulness today? You know what? Maybe it wasn't all I thought it would be, but I'm here, you're here, and you're good, and your faithful love endures forever. Thank you. It's a great way to go to sleep. Probably guard your mind and heart while you sleep too. So where do we start in our conversation at home? And how about at church? That's another place, at church. You know, I think when we come, I'm a big one for being prepared when you come. And I don't know how you do it, and it doesn't matter, and I'm not laying anything. I just find for myself, I like to guard Saturday night. If you ask us out Saturday night, I'll find excuses to say no, not because I don't like you, but because I want to be ready for Sunday. And not necessarily just ready to preach, but ready to worship. I want to take some time with the Lord, and I want to just, before I go to bed, I don't want to watch sports. I just want to be so that when I come here, I just don't have to take 10 minutes to get into it. I think when people from the outside walk into a Christian community, they should be blown away with the exuberant thankfulness and praise. Because we're people that aren't self-made. We're people that love Jesus. All that we are and have comes from him. It's pretty hard to stop thanking him. So I'm going to give you a chance to respond. And, you know, in the Old Testament, that Revelation, that's New Testament, right? Yeah. Leviticus chapter 7, they brought their thank offerings. It was voluntary, but they brought them. They thought about it ahead of time. And then they came to the temple and they brought these thank offerings and they laid them at the front with the priests. I think we should do that. There's four bowls, 1, 2, 3, 4. And in each of your seats, the rack, there's a pad. Here's an idea. What if we took a moment and wrote out our thanksgiving to God? Father, this is what I'd like to thank you for. And then as we're worshiping, and we'll worship for a bit, we just folded it, brought it up, and put it there. Like, I don't know if we'll read them all or not. I just know this, that the Lord will. He'll read every one of them. He's very present. And if you do it from your heart, you'll honor him. I think it'd be a great way to end. So I'm going to pray. And then the team's going to come out. We'll begin worshiping. Just whatever you want that you're grateful for today, why don't you just write it on there? And if you're comfortable, just bring it on up and say, Lord, I'm not bringing it to Dan or to Cross. I'm bringing it to you. Put it in there as a thank offering to the Lord. Does that make sense? Let me pray and we'll worship. Father, thank you again for one more opportunity you've given us to worship you, to join with the people in heaven and say, you are worthy, Father, for not only did you create everything, but you brought us into your family by your son who shed his blood for us. Thank you. Thank you for one another. Thank you for the community of faith that encourages us and helps us in our walk. Thank you that we can, in a practical way, express our gratitude to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.